For the beautiful recital, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill the love of the Quran in our hearts. And just like the entire month of Ramadan, how we recite the Quran, may Allah give us the tawfiq now after Ramadan to continue reciting the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill the love of the Quran in each and every one of our hearts. Alhamdulillah, now we come to the main program. The bayan, alhamdulillah, let us sit. The interview Allah mentions in the Quran. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Give great tidings to those servants of mine. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ who listen attentively. Listen, and when you listen attentively, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Allah will give us the ability and tawfiq to understand, practice, and propagate. May Allah guide all of us. Alhamdulillah, most of the crowd is in. We appeal to one and all to please fill in the gaps. There are many gaps in between, so you're very easy for those coming afterwards. Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, Mawlana will commence with this talk.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليس الغنى عن كثرة العرض ولكن الغنى غنى النفس. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable علماء, respected brothers, listeners, let me begin this morning by asking you a question. What is the most elusive thing in the world? What is that one thing that everyone is looking for, but very few people seem to find? What is that one thing with regards to which thousands of books have been written, universities around the world are lecturing on it, scientists have been studying it for ages, governments are appointing cabinet positions to oversee it. The UN has declared an international day after it. Google Analytics prove that people are searching for it. Actually, it has become so rare that everyone, wealthy, talented, powerful achievers, leaders, they all seem to be searching for it, but most seem to have failed in finding it. What is this most elusive thing that I'm referring to? The answer is happiness. Yes, happiness. We judge everything in terms of how happy it will make us. We often hear people say, do what makes you happy. Your happiness is most important. Every human yearns to lead a happy life. Happiness is the only goal on earth that all people are seeking without exception. It is perhaps the most encompassing and common goal in our lives. Now, since everyone is searching for happiness, yet it is so elusive, very few are able to find it, I thought it would be appropriate on this happy day to talk about happiness, to touch on this topic. Because brothers, if we can understand what is true happiness and how to achieve it, if we can understand what is true happiness and how to achieve it, then every day in our lives will be a day of Eid. If you can lead a happy life, every day in your life will be a day of Eid. My talk will revolve around answering four questions. The first, why is happiness so elusive? Why is it so hard to find? The second, what is happiness? The third, what does happiness comprise of? And the fourth, how can we choose to be happy? So in the course of this discourse, I will attempt, inshallah, to answer these four questions. Let's start with the first one. Why is happiness so elusive? Why is it so difficult to find? Why are so many people failing to find happiness? The simple answer is, our approach is wrong. We are searching for happiness in the wrong places. We are looking for happiness in the next purchase, in a bigger house, in a better car, in cooler technology, in more fashionable clothing, in a better job, in the next holiday. We are even looking for happiness in the next person. We are chasing the next and the next and the next, and we think when we get that next thing, then we will be happy. But then happiness continues to remain elusive. We need to understand one thing. Material possessions will give you a temporary boost of pleasure, but it will never bring you true happiness, because after a while you will start longing for the next thing. Once you get the first thing, it will bring you temporary superficial happiness, and after a while you start yearning for the next thing. You start becoming bored with that thing which you have acquired and you thought initially would bring you happiness. It doesn't bring you the happiness. Unhappy people are unhappy. Why? Why are unhappy people unhappy? Because they focus on what they don't have. They focus on what they don't have. They feel they need to have something they don't have to become happy. And then the entire focus of their lives is narrowed down to what they don't have, and they don't appreciate what they do have. So their lives become boring. What Allah has already granted them does not bring them any satisfaction. Unhappy people are unhappy because they're always looking at the negatives in life. They are always living in either the past or worrying about the future, but they don't focus on the present, and as a result, happiness continues to remain elusive. So that's the first question. Why is happiness elusive? The second question, what is happiness? We all talk about it. We all want it. We are all searching for it. After all, what is happiness? When you study the teachings of the scholars and you study the findings of psychologists, it boils down to this. Happiness is the consistent mental and emotional state of well-being. Happiness is the constant mental and emotional state of well-being. Happiness has more to do with your internal condition than your external circumstances. When you have a general feeling of contentment and satisfaction in your life, then you are a happy human being. I read a very nice quote. They said, happiness is not a destination that you arrive at, it is a manner of traveling. Happiness is not a destination that you arrive at, it is a manner of traveling. Your happiness, brothers, is based solely on your decision to be happy. And this could be the most important decision that you take in your life. We need to stop searching for happiness. The search for happiness is the main reason why we are unhappy. You don't need to look for happiness, because happiness is not out there, it is in here. It's in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. Happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. This is my catchphrase for today's discussion, for today's discourse. And you'll hear me repeating this on a regular basis throughout the talk. Happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. So that's the answer to the second question, that what is happiness? Let's move on to the third question. What does happiness comprise of? What is happiness made up of? Psychologists tell us happiness is made up of three things. The first part brings you 50% of your happiness. The second part brings you 10% of your happiness. And the third part brings you 40% of your happiness. What is the first part? It comes from a genetic set point. It means that some people are naturally more happier than others. Some people are naturally more happier than others. So your genetic set point gives you 50% of your happiness. The 10%, that comes from your circumstances. Your wealth status, your career, your demographic factors, all those things that apply in your life. And the 40%, the remaining 40% is as a result of the actions that you do or you do not do. The actions that you choose to do or not to do is what brings you 40% of happiness. Now, if we unpack this, the first 50% is genetic. So there's nothing you can do about it. Either you have it or not. You have no control over that. The next 10% is circumstances. And we have very little control over circumstances. So the 60% is pretty much beyond our control. So what does Islam teach us? You apply the principle of Radha bil Qada. I'm happy with the degree of my Allah. When it comes to natural happiness, when it comes to happiness as a result of circumstances, I'm happy with the degree of my Allah. 1400 years Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about this concept of happiness. Today researchers are saying that the psychological immune system works the best when you don't have a choice. When the decision has already been made for you. Because when you have too many options in life, life becomes complicated. What a beautiful dua my Nabi has taught us with regards to 60% which is beyond your control. The narration is in Bukhari. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Oh Allah, whatever sustenance you have given me, grant me contentment therein. Wa barik li fi. And whatever little you have given me, my Allah, put barakah in it. And the last sentence, which is relevant, more relevant to our discussion. وَخْلُفْ لِي عَلَىٰ كُلِّ غَائِبَةٍ لِي بِخَيْرٍ. Oh Allah, grant me something better for each thing that you have decided not to give me. Oh Allah, for everything that you didn't give me which I want, grant me something better. So the 60% of happiness, we have very little control over it. We apply Radha bil Qada. But when we apply Radha bil Qada, we take indirect control of the situation because we are happy with the decree of Allah. But our focus should be on that 40%. The 40% which is the result of actions that we choose to do or not to do, because that is within our control. Let me tell you one thing. Happy people don't wait for life to be perfect or even to be near perfect. Happy people don't wait for life to be perfect before they are happy. Happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. That's the third question. Now we move on to the fourth question. How do you choose to be happy? That's the crux of it. How do you choose to be happy? And the answer is by embracing what I am terming this morning the happiness portfolio or the recipe for happiness, which comprises of four parts. And that's what I want to discuss now. There are four parts to being happy. There are four parts to the happiness portfolio. Faith, family, community, and yourself. Faith, family, community, and yourself. Let's start with faith, which is the most important. Up to now, brothers, whatever I've told you is a background, setting the foundation for the discussion. This is the most important point. The crux of being happy is your iman. Your obedience to Allah, your obedience to the Rasul of Allah, your obedience to the Deen of Allah. If you don't remember anything I say this morning except this one statement, I will consider myself successful. And what is that statement? Hear this from me, brothers. Imbibe it in your hearts, engrave it in your minds, and absorb it into every fiber of your body. If Allah is happy with you, you will be happy. If Allah is happy with you, you will be happy. It is as simple as that. Now modern day research has backed it up saying that those who believe in a religion are generally more happy than those who don't because they acknowledge a greater being. Now today, Western writers are writing that the greatest reason for suicide in the West is that people don't believe in a greater being. Whereas Islam came the day Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came to planet Earth, teaching us this eternal lesson. If Allah is happy with you, you will be happy. It is critical for us to remember something. As humans, we are a combination of body and soul. We're not body only. That's why when the soul departs the body at the time of death, that very body that had so many functions becomes a corpse. The eyes are still there, but you can't see. The ears are still there, you cannot hear. the limbs and the organs are not functioning. That body does not own anything, it's not in the nikah of anyone. So as humans, we are made up of both body and soul. But soul is more important, because the body will disintegrate in the grave. The ruh, the soul, continues with the journey into the hereafter. But the irony is, if we analyze our lifestyle, most of our time and our effort and our money is focused on fulfilling the pleasures and the desires of the body, and by and large we neglect our soul. And when you neglect your soul, it becomes a major factor in you becoming unhappy. Researchers tell us, doctors, non-Muslim doctors, talk about soul loss. They say soul loss is when a human becomes disconnected from their soul. They become disconnected from their soul. And then they say, we as doctors, we mistreat them, we give them medication, thinking it's a physical illness, but in reality, they have become disconnected from their soul. They need to reconnect with their souls, otherwise life will become meaningless, life will become task-driven. What has Islam taught us? Islam has taught us that if you want to be happy, you need to connect your soul with Allah. If you want to be happy, you need to connect your soul with Allah. And once you've made that connection, you need to sustain that connection. How do you sustain that connection? With salah, which is food for the soul. With dhikr, which brings contentment to the soul. With abstention from sin. With abstention from sin. Because sin brings temporary pleasure, it can never bring true happiness. Sin will always make a sinner restless. A person whose life is underpinned by sin will never be happy. A person whose life is underpinned by sin, he will never be happy. So that's the first part of the four parts in the portfolio of happiness, the recipe of happiness. Faith, our relationship with Allah, our relationship with our deen. Brothers, Islam has the recipe for happiness. Islam has the recipe for happiness. I'll just give you a few examples of the concepts in our deen which are ingredients for happiness. One example, Islam teaches us that we should practice optimism. The famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ajaban li amri al-mu'min, how wonderful is the affair of a believer. Something good happens, he makes shukr, Allah rewards him. Something bad happens, he makes sabr, Allah rewards him. It's a win-win situation. Imagine if more people in this world align themselves with this hadith, align their mindset with this hadith, we would have more optimistic people. This world needs more optimistic people. I read a profound quote the other day. They said, the quality of your life is connected to the quality of your thoughts. The quality of your life is connected to the quality of your thoughts. There is always reason to be optimistic. The great Sahabi Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he lost his eyesight. You know what a setback it is for a human to lose your eyesight. Perhaps one of the biggest setbacks, physical setbacks. But when he lost his eyesight, he started to utter couplets which translate along the lines, if Allah removes the light from my eyes, my tongue and my ears still have light in them. If Allah removes the light from my eyes, my tongue and my ears still have light in them. My heart is intelligent and my mind is still sound. Meaning Allah has taken away one faculty, but there are so many other faculties. So that's one example where a teaching of our deen is an ingredient for happiness. Let me give you another example. Our deen teaches us to adopt and to develop an attitude of gratitude. Develop an attitude of gratitude. We have so much to be grateful for. These eyes which Allah has given us, we won't trade it for a mountain of gold. Yet we always feel deprived. Why? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbi. If you wake up in the morning and your property is secure, mu'afan fi jasadi, you're healthy, indahu ta'amu yawmi, you have your food for the day, faka'annama hizat lahu dunya. It is as if Allah has given you the whole world. You have no right to feel deprived. You know, there was a sailor who was lost at sea for 21 days. 21 days. And then miraculously, they rescued him. So when he had calmed down and once he had recovered, they asked him a question in an interview. They said, when you were alone for 21 days in the middle of the sea and you were fearing death, what was the greatest lesson that you learned? He said, the greatest lesson I learned, if you have fresh water and sufficient food, you have no right to complain. If you have fresh water and sufficient food, you have no right to complain. We complain too much, that's why we are not happy. Another teaching of our deen, which is an ingredient for happiness, our deen teaches us how to compare. If you want to compare your life with others, this is how you compare. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in matters of deen, look at those who are higher than you. But in matters of dunya, this worldly life, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم. Look at those who are lower than you. Otherwise, the bounties of Allah will start to become insignificant in your eyes. You will never be happy. So if we can stop looking at those who don't have, who have what we don't have, who have more than us, then we will be happy. Another teaching of our deen, which is an ingredient of happiness, our deen teaches us to forgive. That no matter how much someone has hurt you, the more you carry that pain and that hurt, it's like a thorn which is in your shoe as you're walking. It continues to prick you and to aggravate you. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive for the pleasure of Allah and you will be happy. One more example I'll give, brothers, of how our deen and the teachings of our deen actually provide us with the ingredients for happiness. Our deen teaches us, have expectations in Allah alone. Have expectations in Allah alone. One of the main reasons that people are happy, unhappy, is that they have expectations in others, especially those who are close to them. We expect people to appreciate, to return the favor, to reciprocate, to understand, but they don't. Do for Allah alone and expect alone from only from Allah and you will be happy. Do only for Allah and expect only from Allah and you will be happy. To conclude this first point, faith. Brothers, it's important that we understand Islam did not come to restrict us. Islam did not come to deprive us, to burden us, to make life miserable, to make life boring. No! The teachings of Islam are designed to make us happy. The teachings of our deen are meant to make us happy. Islam does not advocate sadness. There is no teaching in Islam that you must walk around with a permanent frown and you must be constantly grumpy. Islam wants us to be happy. But once again, I remind you, happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. So, we're talking about how to be happy, the portfolio of happiness. The first part out of four, faith, the most important part. The second part, family, the most neglected part. It is so sad, brothers. In this age of the rat race, instant gratification, material progress, we have sacrificed our greatest assets, and that is our relationship with our family members. Relationships are a commitment that we have neglected. Our homes have become like hotels. We live under the same roof, we eat around the same table, but we are living separate lives, emotionally disconnected from each other. Husband and wife are sitting on the same bed, but each is busy with his or her phone, WhatsApping another person. They're sitting under the same roof, on the same bed, in the same room, but they are emotionally disconnected. And emotional neglect is what is killing our relationships. And what's the consequence of that? Firstly, it deprives you of the genuine and long-lasting happiness which relationships provide. And secondly, it puts a strain on the relationship. Once there is a strain on the relationship, automatically your happiness is compromised. In order, brothers, listen to this very carefully. In order to harvest the great happiness that relationships can provide, we need to invest in our family relationships if we want to enjoy the dividends of happiness. Hear what I'm telling you. It is more important to invest in your family than it is important to invest for your family. It is more important to invest in your family than it is to invest for your family. How do you invest in your family? Firstly, by giving time. Everyone is busy. This modern life is so hectic that people say, Molana, I'm so busy, sometimes I have to delay going to the bathroom to relieve myself. I've got this urgent email and I've got that urgent meeting and another urgent phone call. But listen, the person with the most responsibilities was Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made time. Nobody has got time, but you have to make the time. Again, I give you the reference of a quote. So beautifully they say, being in a relationship is a full-time job. Being in a relationship is a full-time job. Don't apply if you are not ready. don't apply if you are not ready. You have to be there for your family. Then only are you investing in your relationship. You have to be there to listen to what they have to say. You have to be there to interact with them. How often, brothers, do we have meaningful conversations with those who are close to us? Meaningful conversations, face to face, not conversations on WhatsApp. How often? We neglect our families. You know what experts tell us? They say if you want to be happy, spend that 5 minutes extra with someone you love. Spend that 5 minutes extra with someone you love. And if we look at our lives, we are always robbing those whom we love from that 5 minutes extra. You need to invest in your family by not marrying your job. By not marrying your job. This is a very sad part and a very sad tale of our lives. Remember one thing. The company is all about the company, it's not about you. Decisions in the company that you work for or the organization that you serve will always be made in the best interest of the company and the organization, not your best interest. You'll work there for 30 years. You'll slog and you'll slave. And after 30 years, when a younger, more talented person knocks on the door, they give you 3 talaqs. Then you'll feel dejected. You'll feel used. You'll feel betrayed, but it's too late. By then, your children would have grown up. They would have grown up with the money that you earn from their job, but they'll have very few memories of connecting with you. Your wife will be living in the same house that you bought with the money that you secured from their job, but you and your wife will be emotionally disconnected. Your marriage would have lost its spark. You know, they did a survey where they surveyed men who were in their mid-50s, and they asked them one question. What is your biggest regret in life? Oh, men who are in your 50s, what is your biggest regret in life? And you know what the majority of them said? We spend too much time focusing on our career and too little time with our family. But at the age of 55, your children are married now, they got their own families. It's too late to reverse the clock. The great irony of our lives, the great irony of our lives, we treat the people we love the most the worst. The people we love the most, we treat them the worst. We reserve our best behavior for outside the house. And then we bring the outside stress into the house. The people in the house we neglect. We don't sufficiently invest in them. So to wrap up the second part in the portfolio of happiness, nurture your relationships, brothers. Your relationships are vital for your happiness. Once again, I remind you, happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. So two of the four parts in the happiness portfolio, the happiness recipe we have discussed. The most important, faith. The most neglected, family. Now we move on to the third one, the most misunderstood, community. Community is the third part in the happiness portfolio. How so? You will never be happy unless you live your life in a way where you make others happy. You will never be happy unless you live your life in a way where you make others happy. Selfish people are the most unhappy people. Again, research has shown, these teachings are 1400 years ago in our deen. Research has shown that those people who volunteer their services to the community are more happy on average than those who don't. The minimum we can do, brothers, is smile with people. They say when you smile, your facial muscles contract. It sends a rush of blood to the front part of your brain, which then releases dopamine, which is a pleasure chemical in your brain. When you smile with people regularly, you will be happier. May my parents be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulallah. 1400 years ago, you taught us, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not deem any good act as insignificant. ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. Even though if you can only meet your brother with a smiling face. Nowadays, researchers are telling us that to smile will make you happy and it will spread happiness. Our Nabi taught it to us 1400 years ago. So the third part in the portfolio of happiness, if you want to be happy, you have to live your life in a way that makes others happy. Again, happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. Let's move on to the fourth part of happiness. And this is the interesting one. The first part in the portfolio of happiness, in the recipe of happiness, the first part, faith, iman. The second part, family. The third part, community. The fourth part, yourself. Yourself. In our obsession with material progress, in our machine-like daily routine, we have neglected ourselves. In the pursuit of everything else, we have forgotten ourselves. You know, a few months ago, I read an anecdote, and it hit me so hard, I've been sharing it regularly since then. They say there was a man who secured a job as a woodcutter. And he tried to impress his boss on the first day. He worked hard, he chopped 15 trees. The boss told him, nobody has chopped 15 trees in one day. I'm really impressed. The next day he worked harder, he only managed 13. The day after he worked even harder, he only managed 10, until it came down to 3. With great embarrassment, he comes before his boss. He says, I can't understand. I'm working harder and harder, but the results are diminishing. This was a true leader. He wasn't just a boss. He asked him a profound question. He said, when last did you sharpen your axe? You're chopping and chopping and chopping. When last did you sharpen your axe? Brothers, take a break from the rat race. Look after yourself if you want to be happy. Get adequate rest. It freshens your mind and soul. Organize your life. The Nabi of Allah organized and proportioned his time. Ibadah, family time, community time, personal time. A person who is more organized is more happy. Eat healthy. A healthy body results in a healthy mind. If you have sickness, your happiness is compromised. Keep fit. Today, doctors tell us that exercise is the best antidepressant. If you take only a 10-minute walk, there's an immediate boost of chemistry in your body which results in happiness. Connect with nature. Today we live in concrete jungles. We are surrounded by technology and machines. It has an effect on our state of mind. We need to take a break from the rat race. We need to break the monotony of modern lifestyle. Bring variety into our lives. Bring new experiences into our lives. You need to take care of yourself. That's the fourth part of the four parts to the happiness portfolio. Again, I emphasize, happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. Before I conclude, brothers, let's just summarize quickly. We have answered four questions. The first question, why is happiness so elusive? Because our approach is wrong. We are looking for happiness in the wrong places. We focus all the time on what we don't have. We live too much in the past and in the future. We don't live in the present. That's the first question that we answered. The second question, what is happiness? Happiness is a consistent mental, emotional, spiritual state of well-being. Happiness is not out there, it's in here. Happiness is not a destination that you arrive at, it's a manner of traveling. The third question, what does happiness comprise of? Happiness is a choice. You have to choose to be happy. The fourth question, how can we choose to be happy? By embracing the happiness portfolio, the four things that we spoke about, faith, family, community, and you. Faith, family, community, and you. Let me leave you with this incident, brothers. On the day of Eid, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi sees his son with old and tattered clothes. He starts crying. So his son asks him, Abba, why are you crying? He says, when the other children will see you in old clothes on Eid day, they are going to mock at you. And it's going to break your heart. Look at the response of this young boy. He said, Abba, our heart shouldn't break because we are wearing old clothes on Eid day. Our heart should break if Allah is not happy with us. If our parents are not happy with us. My father, I hope that my Allah will be happy with me if you are happy with me. Umar bin Abdul Aziz broke down. He embraced the boy. He kissed him on his forehead. This young boy understood what was happiness and where to find it. May Allah grant us such children. Most importantly, may Allah make us such parents. I leave you with this thought, brothers. Do not wait to be happy. Do not wait to be happy. Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. I'll conclude with this verse of the Quran. What is the Quranic formula for happiness? Allah says in the verse which I recited in my introduction, Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw unta wa huwa mu'min. Whoever does good deeds, male or female, and you are a believer, Allah says, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. I will give you a good life, a contented life, a pure life, a wholesome life, a happy life. It's simple. The formula for happiness in our deen is simple. Be obedient to Allah. You will be happy not only in this world, but in the year after as well, when you will be addressed with these words. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'innah. O contented soul, welcome. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Come to your Allah in a condition where your Allah is happy with you and you are happy with your Allah. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Enter into the company of those servants of Allah with whom He is happy. وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. And enter Jannah where there is eternal happiness. May Allah grant us true happiness in this world. May Allah keep us happy in our graves. And may Allah bless us with ultimate happiness in the hereafter. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakum Allah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq in the amal. Inshallah, let us stay in the steps. Let us stand shoulder to shoulder. There are many gaps in the center. Let us ensure that there are no gaps. I know we have our musallas. Let us take our musallas, move in front. Let us stand shoulder to shoulder, heels in line. Let us ensure that there are no gaps in between. In the center of the Eidgah, on my right hand side of the minbar, we find there's a lot of space. There's plastic there as well. Please, we would humbly appeal that all the brothers come forward. Before, while we wait for the brothers to fill in the serfs, just the tarteeb and how to perform salah.
Okay.
How to perform salah is that our intention should be 2 rakats wajib namaz of Eid salah with 6 extra wajib tarteebs. 2 rakats wajib salah of Eid salah with 6 extra wajib tarteebs.